radioalburn.com.
Welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday the 13th of December 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live tonight at radioalbion.com, because we have with us the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victory of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing today?
God, I'm going to have the tempers are going to be hunting me down. I didn't know it was Friday the 13th.
Yes, once again. Once again.
My God. I'll do some ducking and diving.
Well, how many times have we done a Friday the 13th episode? I've lost count.
Well, they haven't got me yet.
I think it's lucky for us. It's lucky for us, Dennis, isn't it? I mean, we've pointed this out before. Friday the 13th is considered unlucky because they rounded up all the Templars on the 13th. Right. They rounded up all the bankers. Yeah. Jacques de Molay, wasn't it? Yeah, Jacques de Molay.
Where we pronounce it, same guy.
They rounded them up on Friday the 13th, and that's the origin of it being unlucky. And it's not unlucky for us. It's unlucky for them. And I think we've had a lot of luck today with the British election. I'm quite pleased with the results. What do you think of it, first off?
I can't say I'm not displeased. I mean, I'm not quite sure just how much of a Brexit we're going to get. I just wish he'd turn around and say, right, that's it. No deal, we're coming out. Because he can do that now. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to go for this softer Brexit. But I suppose half of Brexit's better than no Brexit.
I think I might actually win my £5 from you, Dennis. January the 31st. That's when he says he's going to be out. He says they're going to be out by January the 31st. And I do believe you had a bet with me 3 years ago that we'd never come out. So we'll have to wait and see.
I demand to see proof.
We'll have to go back through the archives and find the podcast, I think. Yeah, but you're quite right there. He can still pull out with no deal. And he's got a mandate to do that now, a massive mandate to
save yourself 30 billion.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know they won 80 seats? 80
seats.
Well,
you know, I mean, this was the most ridiculous election ever. I mean, not that I've voted in any election anyway, not for a long time at least. But to say we've waited 3 years and they've been hanging on to get an election so they could turn the public, you know, back to staying in the EU, and it just failed miserably. And the woman, Jo Sinton, or whatever she's called, who used to be a Tory, went to the Liberals, took over the Liberal Party, and then actually barefaced came out and said that if the Liberals win, there will be no Brexit, totally dumping democracy. Well, she got dumped last night.
Yeah, that was wonderful to see. She lost her seat. I mean, she was the leader of the Liberal Democrats and she lost her seat. I mean, I can't stand the woman anyway. She was saying, I'm going to be the next prime minister. Literally, there's a magazine cover with her saying she was going to be the next prime minister. And she assumed that she should be given the role because she's a woman. I mean, just her voice, it's like fingernails on blackboard to me. I am so pleased that we're not going to have to put up with her anymore. Dreadful woman.
Well, that tactic backfired on her because, believe it or not, she thought the people what didn't want Brexit would all vote for her. But what happened when people realised that this failure of democracy is an insult to our intelligence? So even if they voted to stay in the EU, a lot voted yesterday because it wasn't right because they haven't followed democracy through. So obviously she got dumped.
Well, that does appear how it is. I mean, I've seen a few people interviewed on the television saying, you know, well, I voted to stay in the EU, but I'm after seeing what these politicians have done and the way that they ignored the result, I'm now on the side of the leavers, and I just want to get it done. And that seems to be what people are thinking. But also, it says to me look at if you look at the last result with Theresa May in there, who was just totally lukewarm to the idea of leaving the EU. She really didn't want to go. She was just a dreadful prime minister. And when they had the election, they lost loads of seats. And she had to. The only way she could keep in power was through the DUP, and that was because she wasn't really up for Brexit. And then you got Boris Johnson, who did campaign to leave, and obviously does support Brexit, and he's won with a landslide. Why didn't they do that straight away? I guess because they wanted to. First off, they wanted to see if they could get away with not having Brexit and overturning it. Maybe that's it.
But if you remember last time. As you say, Theresa May was struggling, lost a lot of seats, but Corbyn was in, you know, on the rise. He had a good election campaign with Cameron as well, so thank God he didn't get in.
Well, what do you think was the difference then? Why do you think it was that Corbyn did very well last time and just totally wiped out this time? What do you think was the cause of that?
The message from Boris was pretty straightforward: Brexit, vote for us. Labour couldn't make their minds up, and everybody knew that even if they did try to get a deal on Brexit, they didn't really want a deal on Brexit, so they're never going to get a good one anyway. And then you had that other clown, that woman who got dumped. So I think it was just the message was simple.
Brexit. So you think it was down to Brexit because Boris wanted Brexit, I mean, and Labour he was unsure.
Well, I mean, if you can remember, he came with free internet for everybody, and then he came up with another, you know, prize for everybody, you know, but people weren't buying it. You know, this was a Brexit election. We didn't really want it. It was before Christmas. You know, let's get out of the way, get Brexit done, and Corbyn, see you later.
I think one other thing it shows is that the public want a right-wing government. They want a nationalist government. They want a populist government. If they had a choice put to them of, do you want to get rid of immigration? You know, there would be an overwhelming vote, yes, stop all immigration now. And I think...
Yeah, they would. But unfortunately... The Tory party over the last 15, 20 years has gone more left than what Labour were.
This is what I'm saying. Tory party, they, you know, when they had David Cameron in, they couldn't rule then either. All they got was a coalition. And what did they do with the Liberal Democrats? They put gay marriage in, and then you got Theresa May in there, brought in all this immigration. Once again, Tories barely scraped by. This time, they've got someone who is partially right wing. And they've won with a huge landslide. So with any luck, you know, the guys at the top, they might get the message. You know, if we have this progressive stuff, nobody's interested, and we're only put in power to keep Labour out. If we have a right-wing message, we win by a landslide. You know, that definitely plays to our benefit.
Yeah, you know, probably the left wing have got some certain policies in there. Like, you know, this teaching kids, parents can't pull the kids out now, you know, by law. You know, if you are against what your children are being taught at the age of five upwards, you've got no say in the matter. So that's a problem to me.
All the transsexualism. I mean, that could have played in with Jo Swinson as well, because she was saying that if she gets in, it wasn't just that she was going to do away with the Brexit vote and tear up Article 50. She was also going to make it mandatory for five-year-olds to be taught that you can choose your own gender. And it came out that her campaign fund had actually taken £100,000 from one of these hormone blocker companies that market hormone blockers to children, basically. So, you know, she was being influenced like that. So it's wonderful to see that Jo Swinson has gone, but it's not just her that's gone. Not just her. I mean, this is fantastic. We should actually go through some of the names of the ones that have been voted out. I mean, the first one I've got on here is Dennis Skinner, and he's a total
50 years
Marxist.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he's a hardcore communist. He's the one that was spitting and shouting and pointing his finger at Boris Johnson and calling him all these names when Boris prorogued Parliament. You know, I really remember the performance that he put on. I just thought, what a horrible old man. Get rid of him. And they have. Got rid of him. Do you know much of him before, Dennis? Because I can't really recall
him. He first came to prominence, I thought, with the miners' strike. And to be honest, I were on the side of the miners there because Thatcher were chopping and killing these villages and what have you. But unfortunately, in this country, you've only got the left wing to defend the miners. You know, nobody else is going to defend them. So, you know, Thatcher used the police and the army and everything else to finally break them. But that's where he first came to prominence. But like I said, his policies are communist, though.
That's probably one of the reasons why the miners didn't succeed, is because they had, you know, people like him representing them.
And, well, probably, yeah.
People
yeah.
on the left.
That's right.
If they had populist politicians on the right defending them, maybe they would have done a bit better. But as well as this this Dennis Skinner, I mean, the really good ones that they've managed to get rid of in the Tories as well, this Sam Gyimah, this milquetoast Negro, he's gone. Dominic Grieve, who was a real traitor, and he was the one that was wrote up that surrender document that Boris Johnson had to send to the EU, that the courts told him he had to send. Dominic Grieve was writing that document with EU lawyers in France, with representatives of the EU, a foreign state, and then getting the courts to politicise and force Boris Johnson to push that through. So he's gone. And he was a full-on slimy traitor. And the BBC were interviewing him all the time, like he was really important. And he was one of their main traitors, basically. He's gone. Anna Soubry, that's the woman that freaked out because somebody called her a Nazi and ended up taking them to court and getting them charged under the Public Order Act and banned from going to London and all sorts. Dreadful woman, like real hypocrite. You know, the things that she says about people and then she can't take it back. Chuka Amuna, he's actually from the Liberal Democrats and Labour. He was in Labour at first. He was supposed to be Britain's Obama. He's this mixed race guy that was sleeping with Luciana Berger a few years back. Some of the ladies are really impressed with him, but he's gone. He's gone as well. And speaking of Luciana Berger, she's gone. She's gone.
Well, they've got more time spent together now, haven't they?
Yeah, well, the thing is, Luciana Berger, I mean, she got in the first place because she was best buddies with Tony Blair's wife, Sherry Blair. And also probably there was, you know, Jewish nepotism there. And she was parachuted into a safe seat in Liverpool. But then when all these accusations of anti-Semitism to the Labour Party started, she made a big point of leaving Labour because of the anti-Semitism, because they're such racist neo-Nazis in the Labour Party. She joined this new group called the Independent Group for Change, and that became the Cuck Party. I forget the actual Change UK, that was it, the Cuck Party. And then when they failed in the EU elections, she joined the Liberal Democrats. And so, of course, she can't really stand in Liverpool. She hasn't got Labour backing her anymore. So she's just got the Liberal Democrats. So she's got to stand on her own two feet, and she fell over spectacularly. You know, basically, without Labour putting her in a safe seat, you know, with their all-female shortlists, she's out, basically. Same with Chuka Amuna.
Well, the thing is, right, is that I do believe people are starting to get wise now to what the EU really is. We were told it were for trade. We're still being told that, you know, if we stay in, you know, we're going to have better trade and keep our jobs and all the scaremongering. But I think a lot of people now are realising that when you have a number of countries who lose all the sovereignty and then all the power is then going to one central point, Brussels, then it's obviously communism. And I'm pretty sure people are starting to see something's not right, even if you don't see the whole picture. When your courts are not capable of telling the people of that country what to do and what not to do, I think a lot of people's got a problem with that. And finally, you know, they're coming around.
And these divided loyalties. And also you got Scotland. You got the Scottish National Party actually did very well. I think
they're not nationalists. They're not nationalists.
80% of the seats, but they're not. As you say, they're not nationalists. They love the EU.
No, there's the Welsh nationalists. They're not nationalists.
The SNP want to join up with the EU, which, as you just pointed out, you got no say whatsoever in your own public affairs, and yet that's what this Nicola Sturgeon wants to do. I mean, she's awful. I mean, when Jo Swinson lost her seat. The midget in Scotland, I've just momentarily forgotten her name, the Scottish, cranky. Yeah, the cranky. Okay. She did this war dance, shaking her fists and whooping and yippee-yay, and you know, really sort of, just, I don't know, just not civilized. to do that at somebody else's loss, basically. I mean, she won with a landslide, the SNP did. There was no real need to do a war dance just because Joe Swinson lost her seat.
They are, but certainly not nationalists.
That was one of the drawbacks, really. But I think we can put up with that because of all the good things that happened. Also, another MP who lost her seat was Hope Not Hate's MP, Ruth Smeeth, Jewish lady, and the shock on her face when she found out she lost her seat was absolutely delicious.
I saw the tweet.
Yeah, I've been watching that on repeat.
That was good to see. I'm one of the chosen.
Yeah. I Hope Not Hate MP being taken down. Is this the beginning of the end for Hope Not Hate? Apparently, also, they sent a tweet out where they were rather annoyed that the Hindus, apparently in Britain, all voted for the Tories, and they were not happy about this, and they said something about it, and their Twitter page just got bombed by all these Hindus telling them what for. I was really, really quite impressed. You know, these Hindus were standing up to them saying, nobody tells us how to vote, and, you know, you should tell that Sadiq Khan that he shouldn't be allowing Muslim mobs to besmirch the name of India outside the Indian embassy if you don't want us to vote for the Conservatives. It was good to see. So we've got rid of loads of them. Also, just before the election, we had Rory Stewart, that's the chimpanzee-faced one that was standing for... Prime Minister. He stepped down because he knew he was going to get kicked out. He stepped down and said he was going to stand for Mayor of London. And John Bercow. Chimpanzee Tea Party. John Bercow, he stepped down as well before he was pushed. And he was actually on Sky News, that he was their special guest to talk about the election. And again, his face is just priceless.
Some Tories were going to walk again, weren't they? If Boris had just won like on a small majority, I think six of them were going to walk out because they were threatening to go for a no deal Brexit. So there's still some traitors in that party. He wants to sort them out.
Well, he got rid of 18 of them. When he first got in there, he kicked 18 of them out and he removed the whip. But then, unfortunately, just as the election started, he allowed some of them back in again, which is a real shame because unfortunately Amber Rudd is still in. She got elected.
Did you hear about this? What's the coloured lady Labour?
Diane Abbott.
Did you hear about your son?
Didn't he beat a policeman up or something, and it was all covered up? Caught with drugs and assaulting a copper. Apparently, there was a picture of her, one of these election pictures, and she actually had two different shoes on her feet. I don't know if it was photoshopped or not. It might have been, but it is believable.
Well, the thing is, you usually see her election time, but I didn't see much of her.
Yeah, she's the one supposed to, she's the shadow Home Secretary, so she'd be responsible for policing. I should imagine she thinks that if she's responsible for policing, she would have just got her son off. There was another black lady recently that was arrested for child pornography, and she was kicked out of her job for that. And the Black Police Officers Association had the cheek to say that it was institutional racism that caused her to lose her job. No, because the police should have just used their discretion and done nothing about it. And that's literally what they said. The police should have used their discretion and done nothing about it and let her keep her job. And that's the black mentality. You know, if you're in a position like that, you don't have to obey the law. You see it in David Lammy as well. As soon as the vote came in for Brexit, he said, well, why don't we just ignore it? We could ignore it with the government. And that is the black mentality.
Absolutely crazy.
Jeremy Corbyn is stepping down, and I'm hoping Diane Abbott might be leading them. She'd be good, wouldn't she?
She's a waste of space, isn't she?
That'd be great to see her leading the Labour Party. But I don't think they're that daft that they would actually put forward any of their black candidates like Dawn Butler or Diane Abbott. But they have actually put forward Rebecca Long Bailey, which I find quite entertaining. You know, that really daft little blonde thing looks like Jeremy Corbyn's granddaughter with huge glasses and eyebrows perched on the top of her head. You must know the one I mean.
You've got this unique description of them all.
Yeah. I watched them on the telly and I just can't believe what I'm seeing. She's the shadow business secretary. Like, as if she knows anything at all about business.
Yeah,
well, the odds are 3-1 that she will be voted in as the leader, and she's actually on equal odds with Keir Starmer. I think it probably will end up being him.
I reckon I can
win
that election.
Put yourself forward, Dennis. Yeah, I think
I'll put myself forward, yeah, wreck it completely.
That's the way it's going. That is the way it's going. I mean, they pretty much destroyed the Labour Party, and good on them. And they're still going for it because, you know, they haven't said, really, you know, sort of looked at it and said, well, we've got all these crazy left-wing ideas. They're just saying, well, people don't like Jeremy Corbyn. That's what it is. And what I'm really waiting for is for somebody to say, well, hang on a minute. Who was it that was trying to sabotage this right from the start? And it was the left-wing Jews. It was the Jewish community that right from the start of the election did all they could to sabotage Jeremy Corbyn winning. And, you know, really they should be looking at that and saying, well, thanks a bunch, guys. You know, it was all your bad press that you gave us that lost us this election, which we should have won. So I think that could still be in the waiting.
I got this phone call, from the Labour Party, and they said, we're just phoning up to see if you're going to be voting Labour on Friday. I said, well, and I thought to myself, I don't really want to get into any real deep discussions. I said, not really, no. When they asked me the reason, I said, well, to be honest, you know, the Labour Party, you know, Tony Blair, you know, he's a war criminal. He's walking around scot-free. And this guy's going, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. I thought, what are you voting for then?
They will tell you anything.
Like, I just popped him off, like, you know.
They will tell you anything just to get your vote. I mean, that should be quite clear, isn't it? All those bribes that they were offering, free TV, free internet, nationalised rail, nationalised electric grid, nationalised water, free health service for everyone in the entire world, open borders. Yeah. They were just promising everything in a desperate bid to actually get into power.
When Gaddafi could give his nation cheap petrol and free electricity, and we plundered the place, and we plundered other places as well, I'm pretty sure that we could get free electricity and cheap petrol because of what we plundered. But I don't foresee it in the near future.
Well, it can be done, but the difference is, I mean, Gaddafi did it for Libya, for the people from Libya. He didn't do it for the people from Austria and Germany and Thailand and America. He did it for the people of Libya. And Jeremy Corbyn would open up everything and say anybody can come here and they can all have it for free as well. That was the crazy society thing.
Sheep with no clothes, sheep in wolves' clothing. So that tells you everything about Corbyn.
Yeah, that Fabian Society, a lot of famous people have been involved with that. There were a couple of others that didn't actually get kicked out that I was really hoping for. Yvette Cooper, she's a horrible woman. She was married to, or is, probably still is married to, Ed Balls. That's the one that was on the Commons.
He's a joke. Yeah.
Yeah, she was on the Commons Select Committee pointing out that Red Ice kept showing her, that YouTube kept showing her Red Ice. And she said that she'd been looking at, I think she'd been looking at National Action videos or something, and then YouTube,
probably mine as well, yeah.
YouTube kept recommending them to her, and she was absolutely shocked at how this could happen, that YouTube could recommend her videos based on her viewing habits. And she couldn't work that one out, that the reason she was being sent it is because that's what she'd been looking at. She was I'm being sent all this white supremacy stuff. And she called for Red Ice TV to be banned, and they had a lot of problems
since then.
Yeah, they're banned from YouTube. But this Yvette Cooper, a really mean, nasty, horrible creature. And unfortunately, she is still in. And also that fat lesbian one, the one that hates Britain and mocked white van man for the Union Jack flag in his window. Do you remember?
Well, there's a few fat lesbians come to mind. So. Yeah.
She was wearing.
Can't
was she,
really pinpoint one there at the moment, but go on.
She was wearing all blue with like these big gaudy gold baubles around her neck, as if they were the gold stars of the European flag a while back. Yeah, she's absolutely dreadful. She's still in as well. So, you know, we didn't get rid of all of them, But we did get rid of a good lot of
well,
the Ramonas.
Well, he speaks about that Peter Thatchell. Remember him from the 1980s? He was going for to be an MP, and he got outed as homosexual. And what people didn't realise, the MP that won was also homosexual. But this Thatchell fellow's been around for ages, and he was on Good Morning TV talking about the sex education for kids at school. Like, well, he never reveals to the audience, because it's a long time ago now, he doesn't reveal himself to be homosexual. But he kind of makes a case against these mothers that it's wonderful for the children not to grow up hating. And it's if anybody's got an agenda, he has. Trust me.
Is that Peter Thatchell?
That's the one.
You're talking about. Yeah, he's not an MP.
Well, he tried to be once, didn't he?
Yeah, he's an Australian that claims to be standing up for human rights. I can remember years ago, and he was interviewed, I think it might have been on the Tube or something like that, and he was talking about human rights, and I was just thinking, all this guy's doing is promoting homosexuality. What has that got to do with being human or human rights, and what is this? Why is he promoting homosexuality? I mean, that was, I don't know, 30 years ago,
like that. Yeah.
And you know what he was talking about then is mainstream now. It's even worse now. But he's just a big promoter of homosexuality, and he will make excuses for this brainwashing of the 5-year-old children with anal sex and gender changing. But I didn't see him having anything to do with this election.
That's true. But it's all part of it. Like, you know, I'm sure he's. I mean, he's backed by somebody really, really rich. And if he did want to be an MP, then I'm pretty sure, you know, he would go and try and be one. But he's probably got a position now where he's doing all right, looking the good guy, without informing everybody of the true story.
Well, these big companies and it's big money that funds the lobby groups that push for these homosexual ideas, isn't it? It's banks and you know, I mean, the Jews do boast about them being the ones behind it. If you look at gay marriage, you know, they stood up and said, we're the ones that pushed for this. We paid for the lobby groups. We pushed this idea of gay marriage, and isn't that wonderful? And I think Joe Biden said that.
Biden thanked him.
Yeah, and everybody was cheering. And then when E. Michael Jones points it out, he loses his YouTube channel for pointing it out. But that's where it comes from. The big money comes from the banks. And also, when you think about it, these homosexuals, they don't have wives and children. So they have a lot of excess cash. But there's still only a tiny percentage of the population, like 1% or 2% of the population. So the funding for these lobbying groups, that's coming from somewhere else. And it's not because, you know, they want the best for the homosexuals. It's because they want to subvert our society. They want it to break down and make us easier to rule and materialist. I think Peter Thatchell just wants to make it easier for him to bugger young boys.
And yeah, just a slam ball. Yeah, it really is.
That's all it is, really, with these homosexuals. That's all they want to do, and that is central to their lives. And you can tell that's central to their lives because what they do with their private parts is all they ever talk about. They are defined by that. They're defined by the fact that they engage in sodomy, and their prime target for their sodomy is a young boy. And yet that's, you know, they will admit that. It's just that they'll try and say, oh, well, over 18 or over 16 it is now. But if they weren't attracted to these younger boys, why have they consistently campaigned to reduce the age of consent from 21 years old to 18 years old to 16 years old? I mean, it hasn't been 16-year-old boys that have been lobbying the government to reduce the age of anal sex to 16,
sure
is it?
I'm sure it hasn't.
It's people like Peter Thatchell.
Well, it's the last bastion.
40s or 50s.
Paedophilia. That is the last bastion. And if they can get it in, I'm sure they will try. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm hopeful that Boris Johnson might wind all that back a little bit. I mean, they've put it on the back burner, this thing about being able to self-identify whatever gender you want. Once Theresa May was gone, they put that on the back burner. I've heard him speak about free speech.
By the way, sorry. Which stunned me. It absolutely stunned me. Robbie Williams, This Is Not the Christmas Show. Did you watch it?
No. What's this?
No. He actually wrote a song with Jesus Christ in it.
Well, that's a shocker.
I could not believe my ears. The old place was rocking away to this song about Jesus. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll try and ban it, or there'll be complaints about it somewhere. But yeah, I've heard Boris speak about free speech, and you know, I don't think he'd be too happy to hear about kids being told that they can change their gender and all the rest of that side of thing. I mean, that really is associated with Jeremy Corbyn, who did a video saying these are my pronouns. But I haven't heard Boris Johnson doing that. And, you know, maybe we might see some of this being scaled back a little bit, because as we say, it's been the right wing element that has won him this election. That's what hasn't been there for David Cameron. That's what wasn't there for Theresa May. And that is there this time. You know, you can say, well, there's Brexit involved in it as well. But Theresa May was all this old Brexit means Brexit. And she was saying, if you know, no deal is better than a bad deal and all of this. So it's not just the fact that he's doing Brexit. I think it's the fact that he is perceived as being more of a right-wing politician. I mean, I would say he's you know, he's centre ground, really. I wouldn't say that he was right-wing, but the media do, don't they?
But compared to what we've had since Blair, yeah.
he's a Nazi compared to Jeremy Corbyn.
Exactly, yeah.
And talking of the Nazis, we've got our final section to talk about from Goebbels' book, Those Damn Nazis, to talk about as well tonight. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get into that now, Dennis, or is there anything else you want to talk about the election?
I was just thinking that, you know, they could have put up a manifesto and they won this election themselves, because everything they said people want.
Who is that?
The Nazis.
Yeah, well, if anyone was to put up a lot of these policies that the National Socialists had, people would jump at them. That's why they don't. That's why they don't. That's why they silence the opposition, because they don't want the public learning about what their policies actually were. They want people to just think that their policies were gas lots of Jews, lock everybody up who argues with us. And people don't realise that wasn't actually it, which is why we discuss it here. Well, yeah, Those Damn Nazis, the book that was written by Goebbels in 1929, this is the sixth part of it that we're discussing now. We've discussed why we are nationalists, why we are socialists, why a workers' party, why do we oppose the Jews, and now we're on revolutionary demands, and we covered most of it last week, but we've got a final section to cover here, which is pretty relevant to the election that we've just had over here as well. He says, a solution to the Jewish question. We call for the systematic elimination of foreign racial elements from public life in every area. There must be a sanitary separation between Germans and non-Germans on racial grounds exclusively, not on nationality or even on religious belief. And that's really important there. He's not talking about extermination. He may use the word elimination, but what he is talking about there is removing foreign racial elements from areas where they can have a harmful effect on everybody else, whether it's on their influence on the television or whether it's their influence in lawmaking, where they're obviously going to be making laws that are going to benefit their people rather than thinking of laws that are going to benefit the German people. It's just, who would think it would be a good idea to have foreigners ruling over you? That is described as a punishment for the Israelites in the Old Testament. It's a punishment. It's a scourge. It's a curse to have foreigners ruling over you. And yet our government make up lists because they say we haven't got enough foreigners ruling over us yet. We need to have a list, a diversity quota here, so that we can put as many foreigners in as possible. And that is actually what Boris Johnson's done. Cabinet has got more foreigners in it than any other cabinet ever before, which he's really proud of.
Yeah, well, it's racist for the English to go in the English. Simple as that.
It's racist for the English to want the English.
Exactly. That's the mentality.
Yeah, and if you point that out to people, though, they can see what's wrong with that. They can see that that's not racist. That's just common sense, that you want to be with your own
that's
people.
That's where your Sadiq Khan comes in then, and the rest of them.
Well, you know, when Sadiq Khan said that he was stepping down as mayor, and this whatever his name is, Rory Stewart, when he said he was going to stand in for it, the first thing Andrew Marr said to him is, don't you think that's a little bit, that's not the way things should be? It's 2019, and we've just had the son of a Pakistani bus driver in there. What makes you think you, as a white face, should be in there? Words to that effect.
Yeah. As if politics are morals anyway.
Yeah, well, as if it's, you know, it's based on skin colour. Because we were always told that, you know, it's wrong to base things on skin colour, but now they just bring it up all the time as the reversal. Like, oh, you don't want stale, pale males. Haven't you got far too many white male faces in that lineup there? Haven't we got far too many white males in comedy?
A white candidate in London today would struggle. Because it's not English anymore.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Because it's 60% non-white, yeah. They are going to vote for a non-white candidate.
Yeah, that is a problem.
What the Germans were saying here is before it gets that bad, we need to remove these foreigners from public life. Why should any foreigner think that they have any right to be involved in the public life in another country? You know, it's like moving to Turkey, say, and demanding that you should be allowed into the Turkish government. Yeah. You should be allowed on the Turkish television. It's not fair. Nobody I see on the Turkish television looks like me. How can I be expected?
All these Christian churches in Turkey and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Big deal. Yeah, I'm sure.
How can I be expected to succeed in life and work and have a good job if I don't see anybody on Turkish television that looks like me or in the movies? And that's the logic, isn't it?
That is the logic, yeah. You're right.
It's exactly the logic that's been pushed upon us as the reasons why these people don't succeed.
Well, no one voted for all these immigrants are going into Europe and to Britain. Nobody voted for all the homosexuals to get all these rights. It's just been put on us and, you know, suck it up.
The thing is, would that be happening if we didn't have foreign racial elements in public life?
I'm sure it would. Well, certainly they wouldn't have the powerful voice that they have now and the secret voices that they have now, that's for sure.
It might be suggested. It might be suggested by some people, but I think the weight of everybody else would shout it down and say, no, we don't want it. And that's the thing. If you've got foreigners in there and somebody suggests a policy that is of benefit to the foreigners, they are all going to vote for it. They're all going to push for it. So, you know, so this is why the Jews will push for immigration into Britain. And if it was just all British people that were in the government and someone said, look, why don't we allow all this immigration in, and they had a vote on it, you know, they would be voted out. But if you've got, I don't know, 30% of the government that's made up of foreigners and the media is in the hands of foreigners and someone says, why don't we allow this immigration, all the media that's owned by the foreigners is going to be pushing for that. All the foreigners that are in the government are going to be lobbying for that. They're all going to be voting for that. And before you know it, instead of having a government that's working for you, you've got a government that's working for foreign elements, and you've got laws coming in to prevent you from criticising these foreign elements or pointing out uncomfortable facts about what's going on.
So this is just, we all end up on BitChute and move to Shetland Islands, don't we?
So, I mean, this is just sensible precautions calling for the systematic elimination of foreign racial elements. And they single out Jews because Jews pretty much were the only foreign racial element there. They did have the Rhineland bastards, but they weren't in public life. You know, they weren't in the government and running the newspapers. And that's why they weren't specifically mentioned. But it's the fact that Jews were the main foreigners that were there. That's why they were saying we need to.
Well, they have the foresight to it all. Where over here, the people in charge have the foresight, but know exactly what they're doing, and then try and kill any foresight what the public might have. So, you know, as soon as you say, hey, well, there's a bit too many immigrants coming in, racist. You know, even, you know, the Pakistanis in Nottingham, when the Roma gypsies were moved in, even they were complaining. So how bad is it?
I think, the Jews saw what happened in Germany, and straight away they thought, right, we've got to prevent this from happening again anywhere else, so we need to bring in laws to prevent anybody criticising us. And at the same time, we need to bring in as many foreigners as possible, especially the ones that look far more foreign than we do. And then we won't look so out of place. And eventually these Europeans will think we're European just like them. I mean, that's why they bring in all these darker skinned people. I mean, if you think about it, if there's just, say, British people, and you've got some Jews, the Jews are going to stand out. You're going to think, well, they look a little bit different to us. Something about it makes them look different. If you then bring in a load of Negroes, you're going to look at the Negroes and say, well, they're totally different to us. Yep. And then you're going to look at the Jews and you're going to say, well, they don't look that far different to us.
More white than normal, yeah.
Yeah, they're the same as us when compared to the Negroes. And that's the origin of this drive towards diversity that the Jews have. It's so that they can blend in with the whites.
Yeah, but what good is bringing over 100,000 Somalians? What is the good in that? I mean, they can't even run their own country. Never mind this, you know, Dublin. It's a no-go area at times.
None whatsoever. It just causes chaos in the country that they brought them into. And again, that's a benefit to them, isn't it? While we're dealing with all that chaos, we haven't got the time to deal with them.
And bring these laws in and...
You're distracted. Oh,
these people who are struggling there with these Somalians, we'll bring a few more laws in,
And we get distracted from it. He says, down with democratic parliamentarianism. Establish a parliament based on occupations which determines production. Policies will be determined by a political body that earns its place by the laws of strength and selection. So they wanted a parliament that was based on occupations, which meant that they wanted the people that were the very, very best at their trades to be in the parliament as representations of that trade. So the trade would be like a guild. Everything would be split up into guilds, which had your different trades in it, like metalwork guild, lawyers guild, or whatever. And the very best people from that area of production would then be the representatives of that guild, and they would be the ones that were in parliament, not people that just get voted in every 5 years that have no idea what it is that they're doing, that have been working on an economics degree or at university, and then they get voted in and they get told, right, well you're responsible for the prisons, you're the prisons minister, or you're the culture minister or the community secretary. You need somebody that's been doing that all their lives and has shown that they are very, very good at it, and they're going to be the best people to make those decisions. And that's what National Socialism was based upon.
It's not rocket science, is it? Let's face it.
Well, it's just common sense, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
It's just natural law. It says, the return of loyalty and faith in economic life, the complete reversal of the injustice that has robbed millions of Germans of their possessions. So you got two things there, loyalty and faith in economic life. I would say loyalty, not just in economic life, but, you know, being honourable and keeping your word and keeping your oath. That was an important thing. And faith in economic life meant faith that the economic system wasn't going to crash, that you weren't going to have all this inflation, and then you weren't going to be able to pay your debts back, and then the banks are going to come in and take you home. Faith in economic life means that you can have faith that the bank is not going to deliberately loan you money because it thinks you're not going to be able to pay it back. And if you can't pay it back, it can swoop in and then pick up all your possessions. Dirty tricks that the banks have been involved in, and that's what they wanted to put a stop to. And faith in the government that it's going to provide work for you, and that it's the whole point of the government is to improve the living standards of its people and to provide the necessary items that are needed for people to progress in their lives and to improve in their lives and become better at what they're doing and find out what it is that they're good at, and then have the encouragement from the state so that they can get the very best at it, in the knowledge that that is going to benefit the state and the people, not going off to benefit somebody else. Like, say you got somebody, a super intelligent university that's worked on something. They're not just going to go and sell that to China. They're going to be doing that for the benefit of the nation. So the nation invests in that person, and the nation rewards from that person, instead of this idea that we have now.
I look around me and I see potholes in the road, you know, cities and towns which haven't been modernised for decades, and yet we're sending millions abroad to these so-called third world countries. It's a flipping joke.
Well, that's one of the first things Boris said he's going to do, isn't it, is look into the foreign aid scam.
It is a scam, yeah. You're right, yeah. I hope he does.
Yeah, he's going to take it away from the people that are administering it at the moment. But they shouldn't be giving away foreign aid anyway. I mean, what is it, 1% of our gross domestic product just gets sent abroad to foreigners to waste? Why can't they earn that money themselves? I mean, you can understand helping out a country or investing in it, but just giving them aid money when we have people of our own on the streets and we have people of our own that don't have houses. You know, you have to look after your own people first. Charity begins at home.
They have a set time to do it in as well. And at one stage, they had so many millions to get rid of, and they were running out of time. So they actually gave it all to a Spice Girls African pop group, would you believe?
Yeah, I saw that.
How crazy it is.
I saw that, one of the ridiculous things that they give this money away to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not saying that you shouldn't work with other countries and invest in them, but just handing out this foreign aid to countries in Africa that are invading our country, that produce nothing but people that invade Europe with their hand out wanting to take. I mean, that's not an investment. That's just encouraging problems for the future.
Yep.
He says, the right of personality before that of the mob. Germans always will have preference before foreigners and Jews. So you got two things there. The right of personality before the mob means that instead of having a mob deciding who is going to rule you, such as democracy, where it's decided by the majority that vote and the majority are always the most uneducated, it's only ever a tiny minority that are an elite at anything, and by this I mean the absolute elite, the geniuses, the people that know exactly what is going on. They're going to be a tiny little minority, and they're not going to have any say in who it is that gets voted in. It's the majority that's going to have a say in who gets voted in, and the majority, most of the time, are uneducated. They're not qualified to make a decision of that sort of importance. So the only
causes division straight away, doesn't it?
Yeah,
well, 51 rules 49. You haven't got an happy country.
You know, the only democracy you should have is in these groups of these guilds. You know, the top of these guilds that goes in to make these decisions in the parliament, they should have a vote. And maybe you should have a vote in your own guild on who it is, because that's something that you actually know about. But a general election where you're voting on what you think about these politicians, when, you know, most people haven't got the time to sit there and study what these politicians are doing all day long to find out.
As well, isn't it? It's easy to swear.
Who's any good?
You know, you get the BBC, then you get the newspapers, then they all say the same thing all the time. You know.
And they also say Germans will always have preference before foreigners and Jews.
Well, it's all.
Again, and that should just be common sense. I mean, British people should have preference before people that come into the country, and they don't. It's the other way around. It's the foreigners that get the precedence because they can't speak English. So we must look after these people first because they can't speak English, and we can't have them on the streets. They won't be able to look after themselves. La di da di da. You know, that's the excuse that they use.
It's a crime that has got people homeless in 2019. It's a crime.
And there shouldn't be any people that are homeless. Least of all, there shouldn't be foreigners claiming to be homeless over here. They've got their own homes. It's over the other side of the world. Well, what are they doing all the way over here?
They're not foreigners. But most of the foreigners have got a house given to them. It's the English who are sleeping on Brighton Beach in a tent because they've nowhere to go.
Yeah, I haven't seen the foreigners staying out at night, but you do see the foreigners pretending to be homeless with the Big Issue magazine.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to scam money out of the white man when they've already got their own home, and all they need to do is go back there instead of come here and claim charity. You know, it's common sense that charity begins at home. You have to help yourself before you can help anybody else. And if you start helping other people while you still got problems yourself, you're never going to get yourself back to the state that you need to be in, where you can help people. It's like you know, if you're a lifesaver, if you see somebody that's drowning, the first thing you have to work out is it going to put me in any danger before I go in to rescue that person? If it's going to put you in any danger, you have to leave them to it. And it's the same. It's the same with charity. Is it going to mean that we have less money for our own people? Yes, it is. Have we got our own people that need charity? Yes, we have. Well, until we don't have any of our own that need charity, we can't go and help. We can't help you. And that's just the way it is. It's just common sense. So why aren't we?
Not racist. Common sense.
Why aren't we living according to common sense? Well, again, it's because we've got a foreign body among us which has encouraged us to do these things because it's of benefit to them and not to us. It's so obvious once you realise what is going on. And this is what the Germans had realised what was going on. This is why they came out with National Socialism, not about exterminating Jews, simply about removing them from civil life.
Yep.
He says, a battle against the destructive poison of international Jewish culture, a strengthening of German forces and German customs, the elimination of corrupt Semitic principles and racial decay. So you got a lot there. And if people didn't know anything really about the sort of things we were talking about, they could say, well, what do they mean, Jewish culture? What's corrupt about it? What is it? Well, you can point out the fact that they're the ones that run pornography. They run the banks. They run the media. And back in Weimar Germany, they were producing all these, well, they started off producing these corrupt plays about people getting divorces and abortions and encouraging that. And by the time we got to the time of Hitler, they were promoting transsexualism, homosexuality. They had a sexologist who was coming out, who was the forerunner of Kinsey in America. They came out with the Frankfurt School. All sorts of really, really degenerate ideas.
I always remember in The Greatest Story Never Told, in that bonus episode about Berlin, there's a guy talking and he's saying, it was wonderful. You could buy this Mac. It was so easy to flash people. You know,
it's that's Jewish culture. That's Jewish culture. The degeneracy that we see in the pop music, that's Jewish ideas.
Yep.
You know, the sexualization of everything. That's Jewish ideas. That's what it means by a battle against the destructive poison of international Jewish culture. It means basically a battle to preserve the morals of your people. That's what it says. And the opposite to this is the strengthening of German forces and German customs, which is patriotism, which is learning about your history, learning about your heritage, celebrating your history and your heritage instead of celebrating somebody who's just come out as homosexual. That's Jewish culture, or Jewish culture for the goyim, that is.
Yep.
It's promoted for us, but it's not so much promoted for them. I mean, I can remember reading these Jews saying, well, we don't allow our children to watch MTV. That's for the Gentiles. That's what we produce for the goyim, not for our children to watch. So they promote this stuff to corrupt us. And
it's working.
It weakens us.
And it's working. Yeah.
And they stay strong. So, and the way to defeat that is to get interested in your own customs and your own history. We have a fantastic history in Britain. It goes back thousands of years. They've tried to cover up a lot of it because, you know, we just are a very, very, very highly talented and very industrious people. And if you compare us to countries like Africa, you can quite see that we are superior to them, so they want to cover that up. But once you get interested in British history, it's fascinating, and it does strengthen your morals because you can look back and you can say, well, look how upright and pious these people were, and they were no different to me. I'm a descendant of them, so I can be just like them as well. And it's encouraging to read this stuff. I mean, I'm doing a series with Max Mussel. Yeah, well, not I come from a monkey. So I've been doing a series with Max Marston looking at the greatest Britons, where we've been going through some of these amazing characters, Captain Cook, Baden-Powell. And, you know, it's really inspiring to learn about. So this is the way that you defeat this Jewish culture, is just get involved in your own British culture. And that's, you know, that's what we can teach our children. That's what we can talk to other people about. And they'll find it fascinating because it's to do with them. Rather than, isn't Caitlyn Jenner brave for what he's done to his body.
Yeah.
They say,
please,
the death penalty for crimes against the people, the gallows for profiteers and usurers. I mean, that's really strong there. Usurers, gallows for usurers. Usury is a mortal sin.
It causes that much misery.
It's on a par with murder, according to the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's on a par with murder. Might not actually kill anybody, but it can take all everything away from them. It can take everything that they own away from them. Yeah. And his profiteering is making money from war, making money from other people's misery, which is what usury is, making money from other people's misery. When they haven't got something, instead of being charitable and saying, here you are, you can have some of mine, you say, I see you haven't got anything. Well, I'm going to charge you twice as much. I'm going to make life even worse for you.
Yeah, and even more miserable.
And again, that's Jewish culture, Jewish ideas that you should be able to indulge in usury, and it's natural to just use usury on your fellow man, and that's the idea that
push all these credit cards on you as well while we're at it.
Oh, the whole of capitalism, the whole of our banking system is based upon this idea, and it's not a European idea. It's not an Aryan idea. If you look back through our history,
satanic.
We were totally against usury, and we were from the time of Christ right up until about the 14th or the 15th century when they started making laws that said a law against usury, and it was in actual fact a law to allow usury, to say, well, we'll allow a little percentage so that the Christian moneylenders can compete against the Jewish moneylenders. And that, and that was the excuse, and they should not have had these Jewish moneylenders here obeying different laws to us in the first place. You have to keep them out. And the death penalty is what the National Socialists were calling for. This, they're not saying we're going to execute people because we don't like them. They were saying these laws that we always had, we need to reinstate them because they were here to protect us and to protect the people. He says, an uncompromising program implemented by men who will implement it passionately. No slogans, only living energy. So what he's saying there is action, not words. We want to see action. We want to see people that get things done. This is why Boris has, he's just been elected, because he's got things done. You know, he went over there to the EU and he sorted out a deal.
He's the only one
to show
any attempt, though. The rest don't even really want to bother with it, do they? He's the only one that really just picked it up and run with it. Well, that's why I think he's got a lot of respect.
Well, they said to him, we don't think you're going to get this deal. If you don't get a deal, you've got to go and beg them for an extension. And he said, I will get a deal. And they went to the court and said, if you don't get a deal, you've got to do this extension. And he came back and he said, well, look, I've got a deal. And they said, we're going to make you send that letter anyway. That's what they did to him. But he did show, action, not words. I mean, if you put your mind to something, may take a length of time before you achieve it, but you usually can achieve it if you're single-minded.
I'm notorious at that.
Yeah, especially if you're a white man and you can think ahead and plan ahead for these things. We are capable of doing amazing things. We should be thankful for that.
All sorts.
Not guilty for it. And then finally, he says, "That is what we demand." So that's the list of all the revolutionary demands.
Well, nothing wrong with that, is lesbian.
Nothing about gassing Jews or anything like that. It's just saying we need to have our own people looking out for our best interests, and our best interests need to come before anything else.
Yeah, which means no Jews can run our country, which is why now they're calling them racist.
Yeah, and what is wrong with saying that you shouldn't have other people in your country making your laws and telling you your history and telling you how to live? It's just common sense, and nobody else has to put up with it. Chinese don't have to put up with it. Indians don't have to put up with it. It's just us that have to put up with it, and we've got all these crazy ideas, and they have to come from somewhere. We're not insane. We're not suicidally insane. These ideas are coming from somewhere else, and that's where they're coming from. But we are the ones that let them in and let them do it. We are the ones with power and we let them do it. That's why I say, you can't wholly blame the Jews for doing this, because it's our weakness that facilitated it.
If we ever do regain power, they have to go back.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. That's all
you've got to do.
All that needs doing is just separation, and that would fix the problem. That's all we are calling for: separation, nothing violent. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast, Dennis. Thank you very much for coming on today.
A revolutionary one, this one.
yeah, up with the spiritual revolution. Just before we go, I'll just remind people that we do have a Bitcoin wallet. We do require donations in order to keep the website going. We have got overheads, and your donations are greatly received. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next Friday, and of course, we do hope you have a great weekend ahead of you.
RadioElburn.com